SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I have got the groundbreaking, trailblazing Kirby Summers back. The last video we did where she broke down all of the names in Virginia's book was phenomenal. And I've just watched another of her videos on her channel, link in description box, where she's going where none others dare to tread. regarding these latest disclosures about the hours Virginia spent with Trump. And I was watching Kirby's video and I was reading the comments and I was like, oh my God, this is just getting worse and worse day after day. So huge thank you for coming on, my friend. And please check out Kirby's books. She is prolific.
Well, thank you for having me on, Sean. So as you know, you and I sat down about 2 weeks ago today. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's Jeffrey Epstein, Predator Spy. And frankly, it's more than 400 pages, so you get a lot for your dollar. And I shared the names of both women and men, to whom J.E., and for people who are unaware of why I say J.E. and not his name, is because this platform is very fickle. There are sometimes they allow his name to be said. There are sometimes he doesn't. And so in order to preserve this podcast, because Sean works so hard, as do I, I'm just going to refer to him as J.E., but I think all of you know who he is. Well, he lent Virginia Roberts Giuffre during the time she was ensnared in the so-called transportation ring. And again, I have to use a different word. I think that today we may be able to add another name to that. And that name would be Donald Trump. Now, on November 12th, just a couple of days ago, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee released J.E.'s emails dated from approximately 2017 to 2018. So for a very short period of time, but there were tons of emails. And many of these mention President Donald Trump. He's mentioned dozens and dozens of times. And so when you heard about, and frankly, it was like 22,000 emails. So I think the thought was, we're going to just inundate the public with all of these emails. The important things is not going to surface. When I saw some of these, there was one that kind of just piqued my interest, and I think it did you as well. Do you want to show that to the audience before we get started?
Yeah, let me get that one for you. And this is the GMAX email. 1 second. And here we go, share screen. This is what Elon Musk was talking about, isn't it? When he said Trump is in the Epstein files, I believe. He was referencing this kind of information. Let's see if we can make this bigger.
This is an exchange between Ghislaine Maxwell and J.E., and it reads, I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him. I'm going to just start again because it just kind of disappeared from my thing. Maybe Trump is reading my emails. I don't know. I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him. he has never once been mentioned. And then he references police chief, etc. I'm 75% there. The way I read this, and we're going to talk about why he would spend hours with Virginia, he mentions the police chief. We know historically now that the police chief was bribed. He was in the pocket of J.E. He would have been in the pocket of also Trump, who, of course, has Mar-a-Lago in the Palm Beach area. And when he talks about being 75% there, he's trying to piece together himself the events as they happened that put him in jail and who's talking and who's not talking. You know, this is a guy who knows information is power, as he told Virginia many times. But of course, we have to come back to the fact that Virginia, according to both Epstein and Ghislaine, who then responds, I have been thinking about that too, right? So what is Virginia doing with a man who, on the Howard Stern show, with his daughter and frankly his son sitting on stage, basically admitted to being an S predator? And his daughter, who's only 2 years older than Virginia, by the way, with whom we have seen him photographed, and in a little while we'll show a photo of Ivanka, his daughter, at the age of 13. Well, he's known to have inappropriate behavior around women. He's known to have even acknowledged to be inappropriate about women. He told Billy Bush, well, I just go up and grab them by the you know what. So is he going to actually be spending hours at J.E.'s house talking to Virginia about what? Politics? No, he's going to be engaging. I don't see it as anything else in, you know, as conduct. He would have been someone else that Virginia was very likely, from what I know about Virginia's relationship with her attorneys, David Boies, which we will get into, was told, hey, you won't talk about this name. What's your take on this?
So Virginia referenced Trump in the book, meeting at Mar-a-Lago. It was all very polite. She talked about how her dad worked there. And it was like she was just going out of her way to put him in a good light. There was no mention of a multi-hour meeting in Virginia's book. So we've got private emails saying that Trump spent hours with Virginia. I mean, there's no deceit here. They're not trying to manipulate the public. They didn't think these emails were ever going to get discovered and get released. So there's now a huge cloud of suspicion over Trump's head. But with all of the extra facts you put in your video on your channel, honestly, it's absolutely sickening to think what could have possibly happened. And it's an absolute tragedy for Virginia, who was the tip of the spear exposing these monsters, if she was being steered by her own legal representative to selectively put certain names out there, which was one of the themes that really resonated with me that you've touched on, Kirby.
Right. So we know, I think many people have read her book, and we know that she was finally upfront about her father, Sky Roberts, doing something inappropriate with her at the age of 7. However, there are other people, I believe, that she was also instructed by David Boies, who became her attorney after she was already being represented by Bradley Edwards, who basically handed her and many other survivors on a silver platter to David Boies, J. Stanley Pottinger, who are fixers. They're not unlike, let's say, Bill Barr, who we know is a fixer and who in fact worked in Donald Trump's administration. So I just want to add, because I'm going to get into this in a deeper manner, but I just want to make the point that I haven't heard anyone talk about the fact that under Donald Trump's administration, J.E., Jean-Luc Brunel, and Virginia Giuffre all met their end. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. I don't see, and not one person thinks that this is unusual. I look at it and I see it as being very unusual. Now, Virginia was deposed for various things, and among this was her deposition regarding Al Gore. Do you want to pull that up?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me find that one next. Let's see. All right, yeah, tell me the circumstances of meeting Al Gore. That's the one, isn't it? Here we go.
Okay, so she goes on to answer. It's a little hazy at where that took place. I mean, we are going back a long time ago, but I do remember one thing about him. I thought he was a wonderful guy who loved his wife, and they spent the entire time like there was nothing else around them. It was just these two. It was a dinner table, a long dinner table with people around, but they were just lovely, just watching them as a couple. I remember thinking, you know, he's somebody that I would definitely vote for. He's just somebody that loves his wife that much. Now, clearly, if you pull up the information that I sent, it's a screen image showing that her attorney, David Boies, was in fact the attorney for Al Gore. Now, is there a conflict here? From your perspective, Sean?
That's like when Trump had his own private lawyer who he promoted go and talk to Glenn Maxwell.
Exactly. And so that clearly is being brought into the conversation as a result of now the release of these documents. But this sort of Q&A between Virginia, and even at the time that she's being deposed, she's only saying some very nice things about Al Gore. We now can see why she would do something like that. Clearly, Boies has a vested interest in Al Gore and would have had a vested interest in not only Al Gore, but let's add another image so that people can get a really good understanding that we're not just being partisan here. This operation crosses party lines. There's a photograph that I sent you with David Boies sitting there with Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Of course there is, yeah. And for viewers who are watching today, we've got a new thing on YouTube now where there's a wide stream and a portrait stream. So if you're stuck on one and want the other, there is another one available right now. They're streaming, both streaming live on YouTube right now, a portrait and a landscape. All right, here's the photo.
Okay, great. So here on the very far right, that's David Boies. To his left is Bill Clinton. Sitting next to him would be Hillary Clinton. And there is the man whom everyone should really understand is part of this whole thing, Harvey Weinstein. All of these people at the table are, in fact, clients of David Boies, so that we see that David Boies is not an ordinary attorney, nor is he an ordinary, let's say, attorney to whom victims of SA would typically go to. We see him as being the attorney to the most powerful people on the planet. And then that brings us back to Bradley Edwards, who, when questioned, said very kind things about Donald Trump. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, just for a little more context and a little more layering here, was very suspicious about Donald Trump being involved in having him arrested and implicated in everything that began in 2005, which ultimately landed him in day jail in 2008. And he believed wholeheartedly that it was Donald Trump who had some pull and who was behind having him arrested, and that used the fact that he was engaged in inappropriate behavior with, at the time, girls 13 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old being gotten at the local high school. Well, Donald Trump has consistently denied knowing anything about the so-called inappropriate activities of Jeffrey Epstein, but to his grave. Not only has Mark Epstein said this, but also some other people that are in the know basically say that until the day he died, J.E. was very kind of sure that it was Trump who turned him in. Therefore, it would explain the fact that it would be Trump who, when approached by, let's say, Virginia's then attorney, Bradley Edwards, who writes about it in his book, but he also writes about other things that shed light, although I don't think he meant to shed light in exactly the way that we see things, because we see a lot versus a little, and basically said, oh, yes, when we questioned Trump, he was very forthcoming. Well, of course he would have been, right? Because he would have known about the children. He would have known about the transportation. And lo and behold, it's coming to slap him in the rear end, so to speak, because now he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He is the president of the United States of America. He ran on the promise of transparency in the so-called JE situation. And until, and really, even after all of these emails have become public and we're all seeing a lot of information that is very damning to him, he still says this didn't happen. So like, can you see like the layers and how this is just exploding underneath Donald Trump and is really going, it's the beginning of his downfall.
Well, we've seen the same trajectory with the guy formerly known as Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, complete downfall here. And let's hope he doesn't try and crawl back out of the shadows. So you think it's going to go all the way like that with Trump?
I think you bring up a very interesting point. The man formerly referred to as Prince, now known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, also made statements saying, oh, I ended my friendship with J.E. at a certain time. And in his case, it was specifically 2010, when he had to come to the United States, had to stay in his house, had to say goodbye because he was just so honorable. Well, I think we're seeing that play over again in the form of Donald Trump, because there are emails and emails and emails sort of not kind of past the date of expiration, let's say, between the time that Trump claims, oh, he no longer talked to Trump. Well, it seems that he did talk to Trump. It seems that if you look at Trump's administration, you will see so many people connected to J.E. In addition to which, even the son of Leon Black is in his administration. So that, yes, I see that Trump is in free fall right now. And I mean, when he was sort of, he walked into a room, it was expected that he was going to give a speech. He ignored everyone there. He's never done that. It was a historic moment to see Donald Trump say nothing. But we're beginning to see that, and even Leslie Wexner tried this. Oh, I ended my relationship with him, clutching his pearls. Oh, I did not know he was capable of such depravity. Well, this did not work for Andrew. It's not working for Donald Trump. And we are now in the middle of what is ultimately going to be, I think, the equivalent. I think you've nailed it, of what happened to Andrew in the UK. So yeah. I just want to add that I think a lot of people have heard or seen or read the fact that Trump sexualized his daughter, Ivanka. So at the age of 13, he puts her into a modeling agency run by John Casablancas, who is a very close friend of Jean-Luc Brunel, who in turn is a very close friend of J.E., who, in fact, J.E. funded MC Square in order so that Jean-Luc Brunel can continue to be a funnel for young, impressionable girls who would ultimately be trapped. Now, you have a child, and it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. What do you think when you see this photo of Ivanka at the age of 13, who was placed in this position, not at her own request, but because of her father?
Why anyone would want to put their child in industries that are renowned for being having predators left, right, and center is beyond me. You would not. You want to protect your children at all costs.
Yeah, but that is the way that I think that somebody like Trump and someone like J.E. and the people in his circle look at females. Even we learned that even Virginia's father, Sky, looked at his daughter as, let's say, as an object. In fact, her brother, Sky Roberts, has made many appearances. And I've been receiving a lot of commentary that initially I didn't really understand or wrap my mind around. We know that it was Sky Roberts who introduced Virginia to Mar-a-Lago, owned by Donald Trump. Initially, I thought it was sort of an innocent thing, right? Except that her brother is now saying something like this. He's saying, well, she was an object to him. He took her to Mar-a-Lago. Now remember, you have a photo of what Virginia looked like at that age. She was young, she was pretty, she was 16, long blonde hair. He puts her into Mar-a-Lago and he introduces her to Donald Trump on the second day of her being there. And my followers, and I believe yours as well, have often commented, well, he must have known, right? He took her then to J.E.'s house at the end of the day after Ghislaine spots her, promises her a great, chance to meet a wealthy man. All you have to do is massage him. I don't know how to do it. Don't worry. I'll teach you. Just be there at 5. Her father drops her off and leaves her there. People who have followed my work have often commented about how strange that is, especially in light of the fact that this man started abusing her when she was 7 years old, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. It's just so shocking. So that he's also known, Sky Roberts, to have taken money from J.E. I call that hush money. I call that a payment for services rendered. You know, whose parent goes around selling their children? Not many. It happened, clearly. It's embedded into our society. We can see this has happened, not just in the world of the elite, but also to everyday people, like within the family that Virginia was born into. But did he have ulterior motives? To me, it appears like maybe so. Maybe so. He would have been exposed to how Donald Trump operates. He would have been exposed to J.E. He would have known Ghislaine, frankly. So that, I mean, it just brings me back to poor Virginia. Poor Virginia. The horrors to which she wasn't safe anywhere. She goes to J.E.'s house and Donald Trump is there. A couple of hours. What's he going to do with her? He's going to grab her by the you know what. And then Virginia has to only respond in one way.
And didn't Virginia say in her book that she believed that money had been exchanged with her father very early on? She was being sold basically, and hush money, here's some hush money for the dad from Epstein.
There was a time when Sky Roberts went out and got himself a horse breeding farm. Well, he's not the kind of man with the salary that Trump pays people, because Trump is not known to be generous, to do it from money that he made at his regular employment. So I would think that back when he had that horse farm, that's money that he was paid by Epstein for allowing him use of his lovely daughter, which is very sickening. But it just It just boggles the mind, the depravity of these people. And of course, Sky Roberts would have known what happened inside of Mar-a-Lago, where a lot of these men went on a regular basis. I can no longer say that he was ignorant of it or that this happened behind their backs, so to speak. I would have to think that she was his sacrifice in order to obtain money. He didn't see her as the way you look at your child. You know, you look at your child, this is, oh my God, isn't this just a great gift? I have been given the honor, right, of being his father. That's not how Sky Roberts appears to have looked at Virginia. And it's not how Donald Trump appears to have looked at his daughter, Ivanka. There are no boundaries here with these men. And then the women are taught to be sexualized, right? So we know that Donald Trump, has he married for love? I thought he doesn't know what love is. The woman that he most recently married, who is Melania, who is now the first lady, that's a woman that he married to be arm candy. I mean, you know, that's just the way these men think. And moreover, I think most people who follow us, or at least know a little bit about me, know that I'm the survivor of a person in this circle, one of the most wealthy men in the world. Gesundheit, bless you. Is that a sneeze? And that because of the Rickless family, they, with Aristotle Onassis, helped Donald Trump build Trump Tower. However, in return, they were allowed to use two floors in Trump Tower.
Are you still there, Kirby? Hello?
Device, you know, what happened? Oh, gosh. Maybe I won't say that name again. That he put up. Well, he had a lot of companies and corporations like all of these guys do. But among these was an alarm company, let's call it, which later Leon Black also bought into for a large amount of money. But what he did was he set up Trump's apartment, which was on the top on the penthouse, and his office, which was a layer one floor above. But this was really a spying operation. And so what he told me, and I believe it was 1991, 1992, when he said, Trump is having the masseuses come into the building and go up to his place. So even I, back then, before I knew who J.E. was being told by Ira, who was in there, that Trump was for a happy ending. What does that mean? We know what happy ending means. So why would he not have done that with Virginia?
Yeah, you raised some good points. So let me just go over some of them then. When we interviewed Maria Farmer, she said that when Trump appeared and she was with Jeffrey, Jeffrey immediately said to Trump, she's not for you. What was your interpretation of that, Kirby?
I thought about that yesterday, and I almost added it when I uploaded my podcast. I thought that was very telling because that happened in 1996, if memory serves me. She was sitting in Epstein's Madison Avenue office, and Donald Trump walks in, and she's wearing a pair of shorts. She, I believe, ran to the office, and Trump comes in and stares at her bare legs, and she gives him a really dirty look. And Trump clearly does say what you just recalled. Oh, well, she's not here for you, but he leads him to a room. And clearly there's somebody else in that room waiting for him, right? So that it underscores the fact that this behavior had been seen years earlier. That's 1996. Virginia wasn't around until 2000, 2001. So how often did this happen? And by the way, about 2 or 3 years ago, and I guess people can find it on my YouTube channel, I uploaded information with receipts showing that Trump was introduced, I'm going to use that word, to a young friend of Ghislaine and then gave her an apartment. So she was named in mainstream media. She is a known survivor. She received the settlement. So you don't receive a settlement unless you're a known survivor. And she lived with Donald Trump, not in his apartment, but in his building until he married the next wife, wife number two. So this is not new, but it's new for, I think, the Trump cult. And it's new for Trump himself, who never thought he would be outed. I mean, I think that J.E.'s demise, Jean-Luc Brunel's demise, Virginia's demise has served only one purpose, and that is to help Donald Trump. Because, you know, these people are not around to talk.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And and then let's not forget, you have that picture showing who Donald Trump's attorney was.
So let's have a look. that's a scary looking guy, isn't it?
Isn't he?
I mean, he looks like he's not even impressed by Trump. He's just
okay.
Terrifying.
So
it's like,
do you recognize that man?
I'm going to recognize his name when you say it.
That's Roy Cohn.
That's it, yeah.
Mentor. That's Roy Cohn with Donald Trump. And Roy Cohn was not just Donald Trump's attorney. He was his mentor. Roy Cohn had a similar operation as J.E. In fact, he used it to blackmail the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover. And he has been named as being also connected to the Franklin scandal. So Trump is not a newbie to guys like this, right? So blackmail was the name of the game for somebody like Roy Cohn, who looks like evil personified. I mean, doesn't he? He's just like the most sinister face and the most sinister. He was just a despicable human being. He was also, by the way, in the Rickless sphere, right? So, like, I know a lot about Roy Cohn and all of the horrible things. Now, they look, a thing that has not been made clear is that Trump is not the only, let's say, elected official who sits in the Oval Office to have had people like Roy Cohn become their mentor, their advisor. This is a historical thing. This is a historical fact. I mean, we saw it with Clinton, who had, you know, his own Epstein-esque person supplying him with youngsters. We see it with, I mean, even Kennedy was connected through all of this thing. And then he decided he didn't want to go through with things. And he was unalived for it. But historically, if you study anyone who has achieved a measure of success, especially being put into the Oval Office, we know a couple of things. That person does not think like the regular person. They are self-involved. They're really psychopaths. I mean, even if one studies separately the history of J. Edgar Hoover, in history books, it says it very clearly that the reason that he became such a powerful person and maintained his power was because he had no moral center. He was a psychopath. The same can be said about everyone who sits in the Oval Office. They will run on one thing. They will lie, get into the Oval Office or get into whatever position of power, and then, you know, ignore what they told the public, because we're not really here, the public, to have them work on our behalf. They work on behalf of the power elite. And that's what we're seeing right now. So I you know, like, I'm going to let you comment because I'm just.
Well, I want to do a quick poll with the viewers. And I know it must be heartbreaking for people who had so much hope that a politician was going to come in and release the Epstein files and did the complete opposite. But now all this other information is coming out. So my poll is this, viewers. Put a one in the chat if you do believe the email that Trump spent hours with Virginia. And I'm just going to say it was for nefarious reasons. Put a two in the chat if you think that Trump and Virginia spent hours together talking politics and it was completely innocent. Let us see what the, yeah, it looks like lots of ones coming in so far. I mean, it's just, it's like an illusion of choice, isn't it, with the political parties? They tend to hoodwink us. They hoodwink us. They find out the things that we are most concerned about. They promise to address them. And when they get in, they pee on our heads and tell us it's rain every single time. They're all in the club, folks, it seems, that we're not in. And like David Icke has been calling this stuff out for ages. I recently went to Glasgow and I've just read his book, The Reveal. And oh my goodness, it has reawakened me. Because we may think we're awake because we're watching this and listening to that and we're more hip to things than people watching the BBC. But there is so much we have been tricked about in recent years. And David Icke lays it all out. So I was just having revelation after revelation listening to The Reveal, the audiobook, on the way to and back to Glasgow.
You know, I haven't
It's almost 100% Kirby. In the poll that people believe that if Trump did do those hours with Virginia, it was for nefarious reasons.
So I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one. You've heard other people also go there with the way that we see it.
David Icke has been calling Trump out for a long time, and a lot of people castigated him for it, especially around the time of the election. And, you know, if we'd have done a live stream like this around the time of the election, I think there would be a lot of consternation and backlash for doing it. But it seems now the viewers are absolutely sickened by the fact that Trump, Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, all, you know, they were all like out there saying we were going to release the files and did the complete and utter opposite. And it does seem like Elon struck a nerve when he said Trump was in the Epstein files. And here it is, death by a thousand cuts.
That's true. I mean, there is a theory, which I myself subscribe to, that the emails, which are coming from Jeffrey's estate, are frankly being pushed out slowly with the help of Ghislaine Maxwell, who wants out of jail. We know that she's receiving very favorable treatment. You know, not only was she sent to Club Fed, but she has been given the ability to play with a dog, to do all kinds of weird things. And people are not happy to see her having such a plush life, let's say, because there's even been a statement through one of her friends that she has nothing, no more complaints about being in jail. Now, that may be that she doesn't want people to know, you know, don't let them see you sweat, as the saying goes. But also there is that thing that what she really wants is a pardon, and it's just getting, she's going after Trump perhaps now in a much more direct way, because while this doesn't say specifically, what else really could Trump be doing with a 16, 17-year-old Virginia alone in J.E.'s house? And whether he was alone or not doesn't matter. It seems that anything can happen. There are lots of rooms there. She wants a pardon. So the question becomes, does Donald Trump cave in? Which would show, I think, once and for all, that he is guilty by giving Ghislaine a pardon? Or does he refrain from doing so and continue to deny, deny, deny? I don't think that that's going to help him anymore. I think the public, as you so rightly pointed out, years ago, I remember losing 3,000 followers when I had my very big account before Elon Musk took it away. When I mentioned something about Donald Trump, 300 people left. 300 people stopped following me. Two people unfollowed me yesterday after I uploaded that podcast, but I had 25 new ones pop up, which would not have happened back in the day. I think people are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to kind of rub their eyes and shake off the fake dust that is just spread out by these politicians and by somebody who, let's face it, they're actors. Donald Trump was an actor. He had his own reality show. Ronald Reagan was an actor. Ronald Reagan was in the thick of the Franklin case. And by the way, the money that came in from the Franklin case, according to Benassi and Rusty Nelson, was used to fund covert operations and specifically the Iran-Contra. So we have to wonder what Donald Trump got in addition to just having, let's say, inappropriate relations with a child. Because, you know, I was still a child at the age of 21. You know, I didn't really mature until much later, and I'm still maturing, frankly. I mature a little bit more every day. But what else did Trump get? You know, like there has to be something else that was obtained by being part of this, because everyone obtained something.
Absolutely. And do you think that they needed to get Virginia out of the way so that they could release Maxwell early and send her to this soft prison? Because they knew that would have upset Virginia to the point where she would have just named everybody?
I think that that's bingo. I think you probably said it better than anybody. Yeah, I think that Virginia would have been the one most to protest. She would have been infuriated to know even that the woman was seeking to get out of jail. Yes, absolutely. Because I remember in the early days when she was going after Andrew and she was going after Ghislaine before anything happened, I said to her, because she wanted me to like write something on her behalf for Andrew to read so that he could sort of come clean, according to those were the words that she used to use. And I was trying to advise her and say, well, maybe you're reaching for too much. You maybe you can't get both of them. Maybe you have to select one or the other. To which she said, no, I want both of them. You know, she was as angry as, you know, she just wanted both of them to sort of face the music. And that she wasn't, because at that time, what Ghislaine was doing from behind the scenes, she was having other people connect to the media, like is what's happening now, and drop information. And Virginia was like, no, wait, this can't happen. If that person is using the platform that is given to her by Ghislaine, no. And so I had to get involved for her and sort of try to bring this to a head. And then Virginia and this person who was representing Ghislaine, who was already in jail or hiding. No, she was hiding at the time. She wasn't in jail. Virginia and her had private conversations that I was privy to, where Virginia was woman to woman. I need to speak to her myself. Right. So, yes, I think you have a valid point. Virginia would have been very upset. Now, Virginia's decline happened with that 1,000 cut thing. she had people coming after her. You know, trolls take a toll, especially if she's battling, you know, this very public fight against J.E., which she did. She was the face of that fight. And by the way, the Me Too women did not want to lend the Me Too hashtag to any of the Epstein victims. I mean, it was a separate thing. They were told you cannot use the Me Too hashtag. It was just very, very vicious. I mean, almost nobody was on the side of the Epstein victims, and specifically not Virginia. She got a lot of. And then, of course, we now know that Andrew has been paying people, not just public relations persons, but other people, right?
Lady Victoria Hervey is still doubling down and still insisting the photo is fake.
Well, yes, because she's still getting paid by Andrew, who somehow feels that he can be, absolved of being caught. Now, we know in Andrew's case that it was more than just Virginia. There were other women. There were just. But, you know, he's just an unusual person. But he's not unusual in the sense that he's similar to Trump. Deny, deny, deny. Right? I mean, so yeah, what happened to Virginia? Look, the Daily Mail about 2 or 3 years ago stalked Virginia. And I now realize that Ehud Barak's cousin, Daphne, was behind it. And Virginia's weight would fluctuate depending on her stress level. Now, there are photos that I've never shown, and they're not easy to find, of Virginia being extremely overweight perhaps 3 years ago at the time that she and Andrew settled this. Now, they went ahead, the Daily Mail, and published these horrible photos of Virginia at an ice cream shop. She didn't even look like Virginia when I saw the photographs. I was heartbroken. She went on a diet, clearly. But the thing is that people respond to pressure and to this kind of attack. I mean, she's being attacked by the most powerful people in the world. Plus, she's in fear for her life. So people respond. Some people stop eating. Some people overeat. And, you know, with women, we're told we have to look a certain way. But the Daily Mail went out of their way, thanks to Daphne Barak, Ehud Barak's cousin, whom she did name, by the way, in not so many words, to make sure that Virginia was portrayed to the world as being, you know, this fat, ugly American, which, come on, really? Is that the only way that you can get her down? But of course it would get her down because she's a woman. It's our culture. It's how we've been conditioned by society, by men like Leslie Wexner and his Victoria's Secret, that this is how we have been conditioned, the way we look. No one said anything about how horrible Andrew looks, but they had to do this to Virginia. So I think that little by little by little by little by little by little, not to mention the fact that she was severely physically beat up, not just in the early days. You know that she had certain things happen to her, according to her book, where she said certain things happened to her physically in that region, our female part, that she was lucky to have children because certain things happened to her. We know that Ehud Barak is alleged to have done horrible things to her that left her in a really bad shape. And someone mentioned after I posted a photo of Virginia at a very young age that they saw bruises on her arms. So then we hear that she's in a relationship where she's picked someone who becomes not a good husband, who kind of beats her up on a regular basis. And then you mentioned to me, which, because I didn't want to read her book, I didn't want to put a dime into Robbie Giuffre's pocket after what he did to her. So I based all the information on what Virginia shared with me, in addition to her original manuscript, which was submitted to the FBI and submitted as evidence in many of her depositions. But you mentioned to me that, well, he was, you said some things about that, that her father would visit when, you know, her husband, and in front of her husband, he would have Virginia look at pornographic images. Now, that is the kind of behavior we find in people like Larry King, right, of the Franklin scandal. We find, like, in people of Craig Spence. We find maybe with J.E. himself. It's rare to see that happen with somebody like Virginia's father. But it also gives us another thing to... We know that her life was infiltrated. I just said that it did something to her weight and to her feelings of well-being and to her health. But what were these people saying, perhaps whispering to Robbie, to her children, to then turn them against her? Because I don't think she mentioned that he was abusive in the early days of their life, that he became abusive later on when she stepped forward, perhaps in 2010. And we know that these men do infiltrate one's life. Like Victoria Harvey did it in an overt way. But with Ehud Barak's cousin, Daphne, she did it in a covert way by infiltrating herself and becoming part of Virginia's life, private life, where she would have private conversations with her. And so... do they infiltrate? Yeah, they infiltrate. So that she really was in a position where no one in her life was safe except for her children, meaning the love she had for her children that they couldn't take away from her. But could they influence what her children saw through other people that were perhaps placed into her life in not a normal way? I think this poor girl... was fighting a battle that was just too large for her. And yes, I think that the people who benefit, and I think the person who benefits most from her not being here, would be Donald Trump.
I say there's a lot of people who have benefited, but he's got the most to lose because he's in such a high position. I think people like the Clintons, Ehud Barak, and many others are probably relished, you know, what happened to Virginia, and hope that it would just keep everything buried for them.
Yeah, remember when that woman, Victoria Harvey, said karma when Virginia was in the hospital saying she's got 4 days to live? Karma. What a stupid woman.
Dancing on Virginia's grave is going to generate her bad karma, definitely.
Well, she's changed her hair. She's no longer doing her Dallas do. She's now straightened her hair. The last time I saw her, she finally went to the right stylist and got her hair done properly. But
I just got sent some pictures of her at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, there's a picture of her that I should have sent you, of her and FBI Director Kash Patel smiling and hugging each other.
Yeah, so she's done some posts. Says 9 hours ago. Mar-a-Lago season is back. This was yesterday. Someone sent me this, so it would have been a day or so. People are reaching out to me about the latest developments. The fact still stands that you cannot fit these people in that space for the photograph to look like that. So apparently she's at Mar-a-Lago pushing the fake photo narrative.
Well, she's going to keep doing that. Look, she gets paid for that. And the people who and by the way, there's going to be a book published bashing Virginia by the same people that... Yes, there's going to be a book published. So what happened was, years ago, I got my hands on a still of one of the tapes. They do exist, by the way. And I let a certain outlet publish a still, and I was given the name of the person. And the name of the person is really someone who was Ronan Farrow's boss at the time, and who basically told Ronan Farrow that he was not going to publish anything bad about Harvey Weinstein, which prompted Ronan Farrow to leave that employment, right, and to then find an outlet for his, really his expose on Harvey Weinstein in another publication. So there was a photo of that person who wanted to protect Harvey Weinstein with one of J.E.'s people, let's just say. And at the time that I gave it to this small press, the person that worked in that small press was immediately contacted by one of Andrew's people. I don't know why it was Andrew's people that seemed to be connected with people here in the United States, and was paid to convince me, and I have a very long DM thing that I'm happy to share with you here on your channel one time. I still have the long DMs where he tried to explain to me that the image is really of J.E. with the girl. And when it was clear that the image was not, I still have all of that. Well, that person who got paid by Andrew at that time said that he had collected a 20-page dossier on me. Oh, great. I'd like to know a little bit more about me. Why don't you send it to me? You know, what are you going to say? That I work every day? That I don't have any time off? Okay, big deal. Have at it. And that he had a 50-page dossier on Virginia. Oh, well, that 50-page dossier is now the subject of a book they are going to publish after she's no longer here to defend herself. And the people who don't like her, clearly who are on Andrew's side or on Trump's side or on Cash Patel's side, because he switched really quickly. He was like, his eyes will not stay in his head, Cash Patel. So now that's going to become a book. Well, have at it, people. You know, if you want to continue to defame and talk badly about a woman who paid for her life, with her life for the truth, then shame on you.
All right, I've got a few more questions, but just let me address the viewers briefly. So, guys, you know, Kirby's written a slew of books on this case, and I would urge you to do a deep dive. It's Christmas time. People love the paperbacks. And also, I mentioned earlier, I was listening to David Icke's audiobook. I've also got his paperback here. And honestly, he just blows your mind about everybody, all the big names in the independent media, Elon Musk, everybody, Trump. You will look at them all differently after you read that book, if you get a chance to read it. And we've got over 1,000 people watching live. Just in summary, before I continue, I just want to say, you know, some people are asking why are we focusing on Trump. We've focused on every angle and every name in this case going back years. So we're not singling Trump out. It's just because Trump's in the news right now with this email release. And you've got a few people in the chat asking about, do you think these emails are authentic? Are Ghislaine and Epstein trying to manipulate the public? Thoughts on the authenticity of what's being released?
I saw that too, and I thought it was really an old playbook. Yes, the emails are authentic. They came from the government. They're authentic, and they really came from J.E.'s estate. So yes, these emails are authentic. Anyone who says they're not, I'm going to assume these people are either being paid to be to instill doubt into regular people who can see things for what they are. I mean, we still have to know that there are a lot of trolls and a lot of people who are paid to bat for the other side. But yes, these emails are authentic.
Yeah, and they never realized that these emails would be made public. So we've got a glimpse into the shenanigans and schemes of these characters through these emails. Now, they're saying that there's 20,000 plus emails, Kirby. Have you had a chance to look at any of the other gems that are perhaps in there on this case?
I did see a lot of them. I'm trying to finish Gerald Ford, MK Ultra Volume 2, but of course, every day we have more news, and I really need to stay on top of what's happening with this case. There was one that shed some light on the role of Michael Wolff, and I'm sure you know who Michael Wolff is. He has been showing up on the Daily Beast almost every day on a podcast. What we have to remember about the Daily Beast is the following. It's owned by a company where one of the primary board members is Chelsea Clinton. And so, there is no, let's say, Clinton versus Trump. They're part of the same team, if you will. You said that earlier very well. So there's really no divide. I'll let you get up and come back. There you go. There you go. And so what caught my attention was that it appeared in some of these emails that Michael Wolff is, in fact, behaving as as J.E.'s public relations person, advising him as to how to behave with Trump, what to do with Trump. And he was called out yesterday to explain himself, and I don't think he did a very good job of it. The other thing I want to mention about Michael Wolff is that there are a couple of things I'm going to mention about Michael Wolff. He has, according to him, 100 hours of interviews with JE that he hasn't released. Now, I know he has approached various places to sell these. No one's buying because clearly they don't want to be whatever, but he won't. You and I put information up on YouTube. We're not being paid by anyone. We're like people who our followers help to keep us on our platforms.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The other thing about Wolff is that in order to get these 100 hours of conversation with J.E., he was allowed to visit J.E.'s Manhattan property many, many times. And he has said more than once that he never saw young girls, hello, at J.E.'s house, that he just saw women. And while he does say that these women were ornamental, excuse me, if I'm sitting in someone's home and somebody refers to me as being an ornament, I'm going to go hit someone. I'm going to hit the person that says I'm sitting there because I'm an ornament. But he calls these women ornaments. Now, does he know the age of these people? Because he claims none of them were minors. Well, we see Brooke Shields made up for Sugar and Spice magazine, owned by Playboy, at the age of 10, fully made up. If she was sitting down, I'm sure Michael Wolff would look at her and probably say, I didn't see a 10-year-old. I saw a woman, so that Michael Wolff's ability to comprehend what was going on with J.E. and the fact that he very well now looks like he was advising him, and let's just take a step back and understand that one of the things that Virginia made very clear was that if you walk into any of his properties, meaning J.E., you're going to see photos of new children. these are still there, and unusual things, you know, like the woman dangling from the ceiling and all kinds of the eyeballs in the hallway and the stuffed real tiger, you know, that was a taxidermy tiger and a taxidermy dog. You're going to see very unusual things, but you're going to see them. You're going to see children's photos on the wall, even if you don't think the people sitting in the house are so that I think Michael Wolff has been less than transparent, you know, and perhaps it's because he writes books and maybe, I don't know, but he's being very coy. And I wish if he has 100 hours of conversations with J.E., start your YouTube channel, drop them. I assure you, Michael, that you'll get a very large following and you might not even need to do anything else with those recordings. Yeah, what do you think?
I watched Michael Wolff trying to explain himself. And in summary, he said to be perceived as an advisor to a PDF file like that was embarrassing, but he was doing it as a role to get into that click. He had to pretend, otherwise they wouldn't have given him the level of information he was looking for. So that was what he said. Definitely a strange character. We have been trying to get him on the channel. Hopefully we can, so we can put some questions to him. And then I was also invited on to InfoWars yesterday to talk about Michael Wolff and to talk about the email release and to hammer the Clinton crime family as well, which I did and really enjoyed. And let's see. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on that.
No, I think Michael Wolff said that he should have. I don't think it sticks. I think if that was his modus operandi, it would have served him better had he said it at the beginning, not now when basically he's cornered because we see an email. I also heard him say that in hindsight, he should have rewritten emails. Come on. So here's the thing. Everybody knew. And of course, we come to the question of, well, how come nobody did anything? And that's at the heart of this. And the reason is, I really hate to say it, people, but it's because it's embedded into our political system, not just in the United States, but also in the United Kingdom, in Israel, in Australia, wherever you happen to be, in Canada. It's embedded into our system. This is how it operates. What I would like to leave the audience with, if I may, is that we're not going to have transparency until all of the Epstein documents in the possession of the Trump administration have been released. So that what everyone who follows your work, which is outstanding, who follows me and who follows this case, has done is they have continued to say, release the files. So continue to demand that all the information, including videos, be released to the public. We're winning on this. I feel we're winning. For this to be something that you and I can talk about on this platform, that's progress.
There's one thing I forgot to ask you. It's just come to my mind now. I can't remember which survivor mentioned it, but wasn't it alleged that Trump's ex was driving around with Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yes.
And Maxwell was stopping girls on the street and trying to get them in the car?
That would be Ivanka's mother, Ivana Trump, who, by the way, because she's from Czechoslovakia, the former Czechoslovakia, it's now called something else now, and Ghislaine's father was from Czechoslovakia, they became fast friends. And in the beginning, when Ghislaine moved from the United Kingdom because she could no longer walk around without wearing a blonde wig and in disguise because her father was considered a thief, you know, the pensioners and all of that, and she came to the United States, it was Ivana Trump who took her under her wing, taught her what to wear, taught her how to, you know, what to do with her hair even, spent a lot of time with her, and then and the more and more she became involved in J.E.'s world, which we know she did, Ivana would drive around with her, according to Maria Farmer, in the car with the driver that they called John or whatever. They wouldn't call him Jose, I guess, because he wasn't a white. He was a Spanish, whatever. They called different people whatever they wanted. And it was with Ivana in the car, again, according to Maria, I have no reason to doubt her, that Ghislaine and her would hunt for children that Maria also said she would later see coming into the house because she was, you know, at the front, you know, kind of taking care of the guest book. So, yes, it was Ivana Trump. These worlds are very interconnected. They're just one world. But I'm glad you remembered the Ivana incident.
Yeah, it just shows how ingrained all of these families are, and it's just one big club.
And they think nothing of it because clearly they look at all of us. They look at you. They look at me. They look at the normal, wonderful people who follow us as being nothing. We are nothing. Hence the reason they don't care. Do people have places to live now? Not necessarily. Do they have enough money to eat? Not necessarily. It, you know, eugenics didn't just begin now with this administration. Eugenics began a very long time ago. It wasn't even Hitler's idea. It was born in the United States of America at Columbia University. If you guys read Jeffrey Epstein, Predator Spy, you will see how that was born in the United States at Columbia University. Yes. And then if you read my Gerald Ford MK Ultra volumes 1 and volume 2, you will see how the position of the person who sits in the Oval Office is connected to this ongoing transportation ring that did not end with JE, and it did not end with, let's say, Craig Spence or Larry King. It continues to present day. However, there are tools by sharing our information collectively like we're doing here today. There are ways we can keep ourselves, our families, and our friends safe. And that's hopefully what we're accomplishing.
Well said, Kirby. I've just put all your links in the live chat. We've got the YouTube website, Twitter, Patreon, Substack, book. So please support Kirby's important work. Always a huge pleasure to speak to you, Kirby. Thank you for coming on, and I'll close the show and hope to speak soon.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day, everybody. Have a good day, Sean. Bye-bye.
Take care, my friend. Cheers. All right, folks. Yeah, like I said, you know, Kirby came on at very short notice. Please click on the links and support her work. I know there was tons of questions come in, but we only had an hour, and we've gone over time. So I'm going to attempt to answer some of your questions to the best of my ability. Let's see. Omar, is Virginia's father under investigation? As far as I'm aware, he's not under investigation. With the alleged victim not being no longer with us, I don't even know if you can form a case against somebody if the survivor is deceased and there's a statute of limitations on these crimes of this monstrous nature. So yeah, I'm not. Will Kirby do a show on Epstein's Council of Foreign Relations Friends? Omar, yep, that's an excellent idea. I will put that to Kirby. Let me go to the top, spot 30 questions. How do we know that was Virginia? It's pretty much discounted now that it was Virginia. It's been published in America by the politicians there who put out the paperwork. They said it was Virginia. What is it? The Oversight Committee or something. All right. I'm not saying he's innocent, but that's a misrepresentation of what Trump said to Bush. Okay. I'm not sure about that one. Let's see. Virginia was chasing the good life and it was bound to end badly. I do take exception to that, but I can understand, you know, if you've not read Virginia's book, how questions like this may arise. But it's horrific. Virginia's book from age 7. She was interfered with, I'm just going to use polite language because of the algorithm, by her father. And then her father brought in his buddy, who he called Uncle Forrest, and they traded daughters. Forrest had a stepdaughter. They traded daughters to do these wicked things, get them in the bathtubs and violate them, etc. Yeah, she was put in some kind of care home facility to, you know, one of these places where they're brutalized even further. Escapes from there, gets picked up by a guy who takes her to a hotel room, puts a gun in her mouth, our words, escapes from him, gets picked up by Eppinger. She's all injured, sat at the side of a road. And then after Eppinger, Epstein. So everywhere she turned, trying to trust people, thinking she was going to get some kind of help, she was brutalized in the most horrific ways. And this is from childhood. So she was hardly chasing the good life. People who are traumatized by these monsters turn to substances and alcohol to self-medicate for their trauma. And is Bill Barr implicated in having an extracurricular interest in the girls? No, but if you look at the book that Barr's father put out, the guy who hired Epstein to the Dalton School, it's like a blueprint where you've got this two-tier society of super wealthy versus the great unwashed masses, and they are used to be S-word slaves. Yep, Barr's dad did hire Epstein to the Dalton School. Complaints came in at the Dalton School about Epstein with the girls. He had access to girls there. He did eventually get removed. But this guy had absolutely no qualifications, and he was put in there, getting in with the clique, the New World Order clique. Where is Gloria Allred in all this? I don't know what her status is these days. Will this be Trump's straw that broke the camel's back? Name the true decision makers by name in D.C. Kirby Summers seems to think so. She seems to think that Trump's on the same trajectory as Prince Andrew. I'm not sure. We'll have to see how it plays out. You know, and if you have just tuned in later in the stream and you didn't see Kirby's complete theory, it is that Virginia's lawyer basically, and here's one of Virginia's lawyers with the Clinton crime family and Harvey Weinstein. If he's not in the club, then I will eat my hat. So Kirby's basically saying that the lawyer steered Virginia into selecting who to out and who not to out. So not outing included Al Gore. And then Kirby showed us that Al Gore was one of his previous clients. Yeah. So Katie Catt is talking about Trump's being controlled by Israel and the donor class. And why aren't we seeing those emails? Because they are completely protected. And that is the same, you know, I believe that's the same reason we're never going to see the Epstein files. We have got Ryan Dawson coming on Sunday at 1 p.m. UK to give his analysis of all of these latest emails released. And he's the one who told us that the donor class is in the Epstein files. And there's no way that either political party is going to release absolutely everything, because these guys control the purse strings for the politicians. And I believe a politician, my definition has always been, a politician is someone who'll say anything to get the votes. And once they get in power, they do whatever their donors tell them to do. Forever wars, forever big pharma, forever excess illegal immigration, forever protecting the Epstein files, etc., etc. Did Epstein make his billions through human transportation, mummy? If we've looked very closely at where Jeffrey's money came from, you know, he went from the school to working at a brokerage, Burr Stearns. He also worked at Tower Financial with Hoffenberg, running a huge scam. So he parlayed that money, because Hoffenberg went to prison and Jeffrey didn't, into building up a business, what he called, he was like this debt collector, but for huge debts. And the bottom line is, his net worth was what? Just over $500 million when he was unalived. And you've got Black giving hundreds of millions for financial advice. And this guy is supposed to be one of the most savvy financial operators in the history of American finance, yet he's paying Jeffrey hundreds of millions for financial advice. We've got Leslie Wexner, who's just made billions from his investment in CoreWeave, an AI company. Leslie Wexner, who gave Epstein the property for pittance, and it already had the cameras in it. It was already set up for honey trap operations. So yeah, Epstein's money, even now it's been changing. He's just got a huge tax refund that went to Jeffrey Epstein's estate. So the value of the estate just went up because of this huge tax refund it just got. Who's going to pay a tax refund to a deceased PDF files estate? Absolutely insane. Yeah. All right, next question. Are we sure the emails are genuine? Kirby definitely seems to think so. Will Trump make it through his term? Well, Elon Musk lit the fire. And I'm not saying Elon Musk is the savior, because if you read this book, David Icke, The Reveal, David Icke is back on YouTube, folks. He got terminated around the same time as me. 5 or 6 years ago now. So if you go over to David Icke's channel and subscribe, or even go in the comments on his latest videos, tell him that I'm plugging his book over here. I'm absolutely loving it. It's reawakened me, and would love to get David back on the channel to talk about his book in more detail now that I've actually read it. Some of the big names that you think are helping us in independent media, David Icke really puts them on blast and makes you think in this book. Nick Bryant talked about Katie Johnson. Does Kirby have any info on her? I'm not sure. Kirby, why do you think the information about Trump wasn't used in the 2024 election? It certainly would have made an impact. Again, it's the protection of the donor class, the hermetic sealing of the Epstein files. Who's going to do more than the opposition? I think there's like a unspoken agreement whereby they'll only go so far. They're only allowed to go so far. What lines are they not allowed to cross? Well, Trump certainly isn't allowed to cross the line of putting all the Epstein files out of there. So why would the opposition do that? Obviously, they're going to weaponize selectively whatever they can against each other. But that's just like WWF wrestling. It's all theater. It's all performative. It's the illusion of choice between the two parties. They have to have differences on some issues. But when it goes to the biggest issues, forever wars, complete protection of the Epstein files, complete protection of the donor class, they are not allowed to go. Then it doesn't matter who it is. As we've seen with the Trump administration, they've all just completely got into line to protect the predators and to reward Maxwell, which is the biggest slap in the face possible to Virginia. Focusing on Trump is like focusing on Tyler Robertson and ignoring the MK Ultra handlers and the CIA Mossad handlers. Like I said earlier on, we have covered every aspect of this case. I have written books on this case as well. So, who killed Epstein? If you want a good one for Christmas, I've got that one out. We've also got Elite Predators out, from Jimmy Savile and Lord Mountbatten to Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. And I've also got a book on Jimmy Savile, Untouchable Jimmy Savile. I've got 17 books written. If you go to my wiki page, it lists them all quite nicely. But we're only focusing on Trump today, Oliver's mom, because that's the biggest story in the news right now. And it was a revelation to all of us, this allegation that Trump spent hours with Virginia. So that has completely taken us by surprise. I think that if Hillary Clinton had got in, if Harris had got in, and with Hillary pulling the strings on her and whoever pulls the strings on Hillary, we would be in a lot worse situation right now with the Epstein files. We probably have nuclear war with Russia. I don't think any of these people can be trusted, folks. But I would view the Clinton crime family definitely as the bigger evil with everything I know about them. If you watch my interview on InfoWars that I did yesterday, it was with one of his co-hosts, Brianna. It's on X. If you go to @RealAlexJones and scroll down to the interviews that Brianna has done, I hammered the Clinton crime family yesterday. All right, so Virginia unloaded on what happened to her. She even implicated the creator of The Simpsons. Why would she deny Trump? So Black Knight, Kirby Summers' theory is that people like Al Gore and Trump, that Virginia has been steered into protecting them by her lawyer boys. That is the whole thesis that Kirby has laid down earlier on in this video. Agent Orange, does Kirby know how Timothy Mellon fell into the ring? He was the illegal on $30 million to Trump. No, Agent Orange, but we do know about the banks that bailed Trump out. And Ryan Dawson is going to probably reiterate that on Sunday when he comes on at 1 p.m. live. Do you know anything about Darren Indyke? Yes, we know all about Indyke and Khan. They are reoccurring themes when it comes to the legal shenanigans of the Epstein story. Do you think it's a coincidence that Ivanka randomly fell down? I think that should be looked at as well. Absolutely. Amy, does Kirby think Elon Musk is in the club? David Icke, oh my goodness. In the reveal, Elon Musk is one of David Icke's biggest targets. And he's saying that we are going to a digital control grid run by AI, and Elon Musk is at the forefront of it. He has been portrayed as the savior, but that's all part of the performance for us to rally behind him. And he's none too pleased about Alex Jones. Alex Jones is what Alex Jones has been saying about Elon and Trump. David Icke is not happy with any of that at all. Virginia did say he was nice to her. Could it be a lie between Epstein and Maxwell? I don't think that's a lie between Epstein and Maxwell, because he didn't know we were going to be reading those emails at any point. It was a private conversation. So that's what makes it so interesting. Let's see. Was Ivanka? Yeah, we talked about Ivana. All right, yeah. So that's all the questions that I have starred. If anyone's got any more questions for me in the live, if anyone's put anyone in the last 10 minutes or so, I will just scroll back right now. If you've got any questions right now while I'm live, put them in the chat. Let's have a look. Do you think they were both competing for Virginia? Well, we know that Jeffrey and Trump were competing in general and sharing girlfriends. So I don't know the dynamics when it comes to Virginia. It's so sad and heartbreaking. If you've not read Virginia's book yet, Nobody's Girl, I would urge you to do so. Or at least get the audiobook, so when you're driving around and you're cleaning, whatever it is, you can listen to it. No, Anna, I don't believe Virginia left by her own hand at all. I mean, Lady Colin Campbell put out an interesting video saying she had sources from numerous countries. This was last week or so, saying that because Ehud Barak was in the book as the strangler, the guy who got aroused by strangling and choking Virginia to the point where she was injured for days afterwards, one of the most horrific scenes in the whole book, Lady Colin Campbell believes that it was Ehud Barak's intelligence agency that took Virginia out and did it in a way whereby there would be no, you know, you wouldn't be linked to it. It's almost like getting a hot shot. It's what I called pharmacide earlier on, whereby on one side of the equation, you put a load of pressure on your subject, your target. And on the other side of the equation, you have a quack doctor increasing the pharmaceuticals that the person is turning for because of this increased pressure upon her. She already had injuries to her internal organs. She was a victim of DV. And, you know, if an autopsy had been revealed and the results of her blood tests, and we could see the cocktail of big pharma medications that she was on, that would have helped confirm my view of Virginia being pharmacided. It's like in prison, if someone's getting taken out and they just give them an OD of the brown stuff, the injection, when the officers find them, you know, no investigation, just another dead H addict, end of story. So that's one way of doing it to someone, but it can also be done through big pharma pills and through a doctor. And if you look, you know, if you ever watch that TV show Autopsy, and you look at the cocktails of pills people like Michael Jackson were on when they were unalived, this is how they get rid of people. These musicians are worth a hell of a lot more dead than they are alive to the vested interests and the big corporations. It's an absolute mega windfall when they are unalive through pharmacide. Right, I'm just scrolling down. We've got a action-packed weekend as well. So we got Professor Hamamoto coming on at 8 p.m. UK on Saturday night to talk about these Epstein email release. He's also going to be talking about Charlie Kirk, Freemasons, Utah LDS, etc. You know, Professor Hamamoto lays it down. That's 8 p.m. And then we've got Ryan Dawson coming on at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then on Sunday, after Ryan Dawson, we've got Did Freemasons Unalive the Essex Boys podcast, which is 2.5 hours with Sasha Wall. Then we've got Sasha Wall coming on to do a live Q&A after the podcast at 5 p.m. UK. Plus, Ron's got Gary, the ex-cop, coming on tonight, who's been going hugely viral on the channel, exposing the New World Order. And Ron's got a number of other wicked guests lined up as well. So who will replace J.E.? So J.E. has been described as a mid-level manager in the network. Above him, our research has led us to believe Leslie Wexner, who is untouchable. Clients like Bill Clinton, untouchable. So that network was not damaged by JE's fall. It continues in operation to this day. Look at the brilliant work of Whitney Webb. She breaks it down. Really going back to the history of honey trap operations from the inception of Operation Paperclip, the CIA, the incorporation of the Nazi scientists and into intelligence and assets for the CIA. And they justify this on the basis of national security. If they can take some kids from care homes, there's no families to answer to, use them in honey traps and further the interests of national security, they will do it. They did it with King Cora Boys Home, MI5, MI6 involved. It was all justified. Just like they justified the importation of the kilos of the white powder from South America into America, flooding America with drugs, Iran-Contra, the CIA, George H.W. Bush. They did it. They justified it in the interest of national security because they said if the communists had control of the white powder, domino theory, they would be knocking on America's door. So it was in the interest of America for them to have control of the drugs. They had a boogeyman. They were fighting a war on drugs to take control of it. The boogeyman was Pablo Escobar and then the Cali cartel. As you guys know, I've interviewed Pablo Escobar's son. I've interviewed the son of the Cali cartel. And they've all confirmed that George H.W. Bush was one of the biggest transporters of the white, way bigger than Pablo Escobar. Pablo Escobar's own son confirmed to us. Illuminati bloodlines, Justine, I can see that in the chat. So we have got Doc Brown coming on in about 2 weeks to talk about the history of elite, royal, and Illuminati bloodlines. Yeah, as far as I'm aware, Ehud Barak is still alive. Juliet, yeah. Let's see. What about David and Alex? David and Alex Jones? David Icke and Alex Jones, that we're talking about? They are the two biggest conspiracy researchers in the world. Obviously, they're not always right, but I've learned a hell of a lot of them. David Icke called Jimmy Savile out way before anyone, and he's called so many other things out. He even called out all the stuff that's happening with Trump now, and people hated on him because Trump had conned a lot of us, saying he was going to release the Epstein files. But now he's proven where his loyalties are, and I think most of us have woken up to that. Now, let's see. My plaque needs to be moved behind my right shoulder besides the big head. Yeah, I actually got my 1 million subscriber plaque from YouTube came last week, the other week, while I was live as well. And what about if I just shuffle over this way a little bit? There we go. You guys can see it. Thanks you to all of you subscribers that we've got the plaque. Much appreciated. Why is my screen so small? Because there are two streams right now. We started a week ago. YouTube gave us the new option whereby we can publish two streams at the same time. One is landscape and one is portrait, which is where you're watching me, Justin. That is the one for people's phones. So if you're watching on a phone, it should be small. Well, actually, no, it's not. It should be big. Oh, I see. I'm looking on the phone now. Yeah, I've got it on my side. I don't know. We're just getting used to it. But supposedly one's formatted for phones. Let me see if I can make myself even bigger. How's that? Have I made myself bigger on the phone now? Let me see if that did anything. I've just clicked something. Slightly bigger. Slightly bigger. Okay. Yeah, but if you want to go back to the other one, they're both simultaneously live right now on YouTube. And supposedly, the standard landscape one is bringing in the regular viewers, but the portrait one goes to the shorts feed and is bringing new viewers into our streams. So hopefully that is the case. And hopefully if you do want to switch to the telephone one, it does look better for you. When is Ryan Dawson coming back on, Jane? He's coming back on Sunday, 1 p.m. UK. So get ready for that. And then Hamamoto, 8 p.m. UK tomorrow. We're going to run with this story for the next 2 or 3 days because there's 20,000 plus emails and it's going to take time for people to go through all of them. And that's to get, see if there's any other gems for Epstein researchers. All right. I think we have gone through all of the pertinent questions in the chat. So my someone's calling my home phone. I've got this old school telephone. Time for me to go, folks. Thank you for tuning in. This video will take you over to the trailer for Did Freemasons Unalive the Essex Boys, which is coming out on Sunday afternoon. So check that one out.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.